On January 15th, the state's eviction moratorium was allowed to lapse, with state lawmakers and Governor Kathy Hochul indicating they have no immediate plans to come up with alternative measures to keep New Yorkers at risk of losing their housing in their homes. To understand the current landscape, including the status of rent relief efforts, we're checking back in with Ellen Davidson, a staff attorney with the Legal Aid Society, which has supported the implementation of eviction protections in New York. Welcome back to the show, Ellen.
Thank you for having me.
So, thinking about the expiration of the state's eviction moratorium, what protections were available to New Yorkers on January 14th that are no longer available as we speak on January 18th?
Well, for the past year, New York State has had an eviction moratorium that tenants could use if they submitted a hardship declaration to either their landlords or the courts. Once that hardship declaration was submitted, cases stopped. Landlords could challenge that hardship declaration, and some of those hearings were ongoing. But most tenants who put in hardship declarations, they put in the hardship declaration, and their case did not move forward. But as of January 15th, and today is actually the first day the courts are back open, any case that was put on hold because of the hardship declaration can move forward.
Now, these weren't the only protections, though, that were ensuring that New Yorkers could stay in their homes. Are there other protections that still exist as we talk that help people avoid losing their homes?
In the law that created our rent relief program, the law says that if you've submitted an application for rent relief under the ERAP program, your case can't move forward until there's a determination on your application. Either you're approved for funds or you're denied. So all the people who are waiting on the waiting list to hear from the state, even though they haven't heard from the state, their case is still put on pause, is still put on hold until they receive word back from the state. Additionally, for people whose case is a non-payment case, where the purpose of the case is to get payment for the money, during COVID, the legislature created a defense to those cases called the Tenant Safe Harbor Act. If a tenant can show the court that they lost income during COVID, because of COVID, then they have a defense to the non-payment case for rent that came due between March 2020 and January 2022. If they are successful in that defense, they still owe the money. The landlord gets a monetary judgment. What they don't get is a possessory judgment, which means the tenant can't be evicted. But monetary judgments are very serious. If you have a monetary judgment, your wages can be garnished, your bank account can be attached. So there are significant consequences to having a monetary judgment, but the tenant can remain in place, which will make it easier for people who are currently out of work to gain employment and start being able to pay back the money they owe their landlords.
It sounds then like the Tenant Safe Harbor Act is enough to keep New Yorkers in their homes. I mean, are there people who would theoretically not be covered by this that I'm just not thinking of? Are there other people that might slip through the cracks?
Anyone who's in a case that's not a non-payment. So in New York, the most frequent type of case that are holdovers that we see are cases that are known as no-cause evictions. And they're cases brought after a tenant's lease is up, or if a tenant is a month-to-month tenant, pretty much on a monthly basis, the landlord can decide not to continue the tenancy. Mm-hmm. The Safe Harbor Act doesn't actually do anything to help those tenants. Those tenants in a no-cause eviction case, a landlord can get a monetary judgment for the money that is owed and still evict the tenant.
In those cases, though, is there reason to believe that those people can't find alternative housing? It seems like if they're being evicted, not necessarily because of non-payment, that they may have the means to pay rent elsewhere.
Well, it could be that, or it could be that the landlord thinks it's an easier way to evict a tenant since the Tenant Safe Harbor Act leaves them with a monetary judgment. In this case, they get both the monetary judgment and the eviction. You know, finding housing is difficult all over the state, and finding housing that you can afford is difficult all over the state. About half of New York State tenants, low-income tenants, pay unaffordable rents, pay more than 30% of their income toward their rent. And any time someone is involuntarily evicted, it moves out involuntarily, it has consequences to their families' finances and ability to recover from crises such as the one we're in.
For listeners who are just joining us, we're talking about the eviction landscape in New York, and our guest is Ellen Davidson, a staff attorney with the Legal Aid Society. And with the caveat that the eviction moratorium just recently lapsed, and like you said, courts are now just opening to take on these cases, do we have a sense of how many New Yorkers are going to potentially face eviction and therefore wouldn't be covered by the other measures?
We don't have exact numbers. It's really challenging to get numbers from the courts about how many cases are currently pending. In New York City, we know it's over 100,000 cases that are currently pending. And across the state, obviously tens of thousands more, not hundreds of thousands. On top of that, we've always expected that once the moratorium ended, we'd see landlords who had been holding off filing because of some of the additional protections starting to file. So we expect to see many more filings in the weeks to come. And there are tenants that will be evicted.
Well, what is the timeline that we're talking about here? If someone, say, brings a proceeding, launches one now, is this something where someone could be out of their home by the time we're broadcasting, or are there existing protections in place that allow for a much longer timeline?
For new cases, there's definitely protections in place, starting with tenants have to get written notices from their landlord telling them that they're being brought to court. Then there's court papers that a tenant will receive, and the tenant then has an opportunity to appear in court and provide defenses. If the tenant doesn't have a defense or loses their defense, the landlord can get a judgment, and the landlord can take that judgment to the court to get a warrant issued to either a marshal or a sheriff. That marshal or sheriff then must provide the tenant with a 14-day notice, and after that 14 days, the tenant can then be locked out of their home. How long this process takes is very regional. There are parts of the state where it happens very quickly and parts of the state where it doesn't happen. The other problem is that tenants often, especially in places where they don't have access to attorneys, decide to self-evict as soon as they get notices, even though they may have defense. And once they get those notices, they quickly pack up and leave, often to couch surfing because they have no other alternative place to live. Because, you know, when you're part of a court process, it's very scary, especially if it's you versus your landlord's attorney. And you're trying to put forward defenses you think you may have, but you may not be putting it in the language you need for court.
Well, I'm glad you highlight this issue of navigating the process, because I have to imagine there are going to be some New Yorkers who face eviction but might have been able to find some sort of relief either from the Tenant Safe Harbor Act or from the fact that they might have applied for and just not received rent relief assistance yet that could have paid their bills. Do you feel like there is a safety net to help tenants navigate this process over the coming days and weeks?
Well, there certainly is in New York City, where we have universal access that provides tenants and housing court with attorneys. But outside of New York City, there are just not enough tenant attorneys and legal services providers to represent all the people who have been affected by COVID and who are now involved in court proceedings. And it is very difficult for tenants to navigate complicated legal defenses that they may have, and in even beyond that, put those defenses in a form that will be accepted by a court. Because, you know, part of court is you may have evidence, but it has to be evidence in the right form. And so for people without attorneys, it is really challenging to be able to get through the court process successfully.
And what about the courts themselves? Are they ready for a potential influx in eviction cases?
I don't know. I think it is different in different parts of the state. In New York City, we are mainly virtual still. And I know that there's been a range of decisions about whether courts should be open to people coming into them or not throughout the state. We still have very high COVID rates, and most courts are places, they're not the atmospheres you want to be in if you're worried about an illness that people catch by being packed, you know, being close to one another and breathing the air. So it depends on where you are, what your experience of court will be.
The last time you joined us, you successfully predicted that the moratorium would not be extended in January. So I'm curious whether you have another feeling right now in terms of some sort of eviction measure being adopted by state lawmakers and Governor Kathy Hochul in the next coming days.
In the next coming days, I don't even know that anyone is focusing on tenants, which is sad. The budget briefing came out today. Tenants were hardly mentioned. I don't know that there's anything on anyone's agenda. Certainly, we are pushing hard for good cause eviction, which would require landlords to have a good reason to evict a tenant, and they wouldn't be able to evict a tenant who was paying rent and following the lease and all the rules of a tenancy. But there was a hearing that the state Senate had, which was dense and had lots of participation from senators, lots of people testifying. I think it was a good day, but we haven't seen the assembly be willing to hold a similar hearing. It does not look like in the next couple of days that bill will be moving, but we certainly are pushing for the legislature and the governor to consider this bill and enact it this year.
Well, unfortunately, we're going to have to leave it there. We've been speaking with Ellen Davidson. She's a staff attorney with the Legal Aid Society. Ellen, thank you, as always, for making the time. I really appreciate it.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by the New York State AFL-CIO, a federation of 3,000 unions fighting for working people by keeping New York State union strong. UnionStrongNY.com for more information.